Hallelujah. What a word from heaven 2 weeks before Easter. You believe he's worthy of it all? I believe it. Let me tell you how worthy he is. The Apostle Paul was writing a letter to the Roman church. It's called the Book of Romans, right? And he's trying to unpack everything, all this theology changes and the things that they've been experiencing, and trying to unpack all this stuff about Jesus. And he's telling them about justification by now faith. And, you know, there's all these things. And he gets to Romans 5:8. He's just kind of like, you could just see it in your mind's eye. He's just like, I'm just. And he says this verse. God demonstrates his love for you, but when you were a sinner, he died for you. Now, church, I'm going to tell you, that's worthy of it all. Give him praise today. It's worthy. He demonstrated his love for you. He demonstrated his love for the neighbor that you don't like. He demonstrated the love, his love, for the person at work that just grates on your nerves, for the person at the supermarket that doesn't go through the line fast enough, for the person at the medical facility that is holding you up from getting through in your appointment. It doesn't matter. He demonstrated his love for everybody because he's worthy of it all. That's the God I serve coming into the Easter season, right? That's the God you and I serve. Father God, in Jesus' name, the Savior of the world, Lord God. Father God, you are worthy. You are worthy, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are who you say you are. We thank you, Lord God, that you do what you say you're going to do. That there's no lies in you. You are the Father of truth. We thank you for that, Lord. You are the author and finisher of our faith. You are the reason we're here today. You're the reason we exist today. And your Son's the reason we are redeemed today. And Lord God, you're worthy of everything this church will do and everything each person at Cross Point Church. Lord God, you're worthy. And we thank you, Lord God, inhabit the praises of your people, Lord God, today, as we call you worthy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, praise him like he's worthy today. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. As you're seated, watch this video. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad Easter is 2 weeks away? Hallelujah. You can give a praise today, church. You can give a praise. Yeah. I love Easter, right? We call that the Super Bowl of Sundays in the church, right? Jesus certainly does something on Easter. Welcome to Cross Point Church today. I'm Pastor Brad Myers, the lead pastor here, and I am just so honored that you decided to come into this worship center and spend a couple hours with us on a Sunday morning. What? I thought service was only an hour and a half, right? Couple hours. Pastor, I can't do a couple hours. Okay, I'll just make it three, right? We'll do three. I grew up, when we had church, and it went to 2 o'clock. It started at 10:30. We didn't get done. That's the church I remember. My mom dragged me to church, and we stayed till the pastor said it was time to leave. And that pastor was really long-winded. I won't be that long-winded for you today, church, but welcome so much. Facebook and YouTube and the podcast throughout the week that we put out and the online campus at seapoint.church. So many people, thank you so much for joining us today, 2 weeks before Easter. Boy, do we have a lot of things in store for you, right? We're going to jump right into an Easter series that we're going to be doing for the next couple of weeks, and that is called Rescue. How many want to be rescued, right? How many want a rescue in their lives? We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about that next week, which is Palm Sunday. We'll talk about it on Good Friday, and then we'll talk about it on Easter, right? Isn't that what Easter is all about? A rescue, right? It's all about a rescue. It didn't start in the manger. It didn't really start on a cross. It started from the very beginning of time. And today we're going to talk about that beginning of time rescue plan. Now, this word rescue, you know, you think about it, rescue. That's a plan. That's a plan that something's going to happen, right? That's a plan to save you from something. Now, some of you say, Pastor, I need a rescue from this, that, or the other thing. Don't hit your spouse and say, that's not the kind of... But then there's the second word. And the second word is called rescued. Rescued. That means the plan showed up. And I got rescued. That means somebody put together a plan to rescue me. And then I got saved and I got rescued. That plan that shows up on Easter in the next 2 weeks has its origins way, way before. It was a plan that God devised, and we're going to talk about that plan today, church. Now, think about this. Now, some of you like to hike. Anybody like to hike in the woods? That's my wife, Nicole, right? She just loves to hike in the woods. She's an outdoor girl. You know, she loves to go hiking. No, we don't go hiking, do we, dear? No, we really don't go hiking because I don't like to hike either. But I know some of you here love to hike, right? And so you go out hiking, and one of the things I've heard, not experienced this, is that they like to go hiking in the woods, and they keep going and going and going, not paying any attention of where they're going. They just like to go, right? And this new thing that you have is called this iPhone or some smartphone that you have with you, and it kind of keeps a track of where you're going. And now you've got this watch, this Apple Watch, right, that has a satellite link, and you can get to, you know, and the Ultra Watch, you know, I don't have that, but it's kind of cool, but I didn't need that. But you go hiking, and then you keep going until you're not sure where you're at. And then the sun starts to set, and you're not seeing as well as you used to see. And then something happens in the middle of the woods. Your iPhone battery goes out. And you realize that you are in the middle of the woods. You don't know where you're at. The sun is setting. You have no compass. You have no, because we're using these electronic devices. You don't know which way is north or south or east or west. You're alone. And you don't know which way to go. Church, you have found yourself from an adventure to being lost. And now you're thinking, how do I get out of here? And your mind goes from adventure to rescue. But nobody knows you're there, right? The transition goes from that adventure, that hiking, that fun, that you know, elation. You're doing it, right? And now you're out there and you have no way to get back. And now you're thinking rescue. You're thinking rescue before you get rescued. You never thought when you went into the woods that you would need a rescue. You never thought when you went into the woods that you would need rescued. And here you are. Not knowing which way to turn, not knowing which direction to go, not knowing. The adventure of the hike turns into something completely different. It's kind of like our lives, church. The adventure of life can run you right up into a brick wall where you say, I'm lost. You finally realize that you're really lost and you need a rescue. And rescued is so far from your mind. Church, God's rescue plan began the moment humanity got lost. The moment we got lost, God was on the scene. The very moment. But see, that plan of rescue that shows up in 2 weeks was already devised thousands of years earlier. The fall of man created the need for a rescue. Grab your Bibles if you got them with you. Genesis 3, 1 through 7. We're going to dive into God's word today. And it begins like this. It goes, now. Now, let me give you the definition of the word now. God had created the heavens and the earth. Called it good. He put it all together in perfection. That was the original plan. And then the word now shows up because of God's original plan. The enemy, the devil, Satan, has a plan now too. Now, his plan shows up. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, not Eve yet. Adam had not named her. Did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? Of course, you know this is questioning the very words of God, trying to make her think that God was not straight with her. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, for God did say you must not eat the fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it or you will die. She's confessing. But God gave her some instructions. Verse 4, you will not certainly die, questioning God's word to her, right? The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes would be open and you would be like God. Does anybody want to be like God, right? What a carrot dangled in front of her. You can be like God, knowing good and evil. Did God lie to you? Verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, God's wisdom, she took some of it and ate. Of course, there's the original sin. She also gave some to her husband. Man, what a good wife. Who was with her and then he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. See, church, this is not about fruit. It's about trust, obedience, and surrender. It's about autonomy, which means self. And it's about belonging, which means relationship. And right in the middle, God's got instructions, right? You could do it your way, but this is my way, relationship. And he's in there, and there's a choice we make, right? In the middle, we're going to make a choice. Have you ever heard your pastor preach in the middle? A choice between autonomy, I can do it myself, right? Or the belonging to somebody, the relationship. And the result of the autonomy thing, I can do this myself, I can have all these things that God said I should, I can do it, is separation, shame, and death. Genesis 3, 8 through 9. Let's continue. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. You know God knows where they're at, right? But they're hiding in shame for defying God, okay? It's not a physical thing. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Right? Where are you? We'll get to that in a second, but I'm going to break this down for you today, church. The man and his wife. Not yet Eve. Genesis 2:24, it talked about a man leaving his parents, right, and cleaving to his wife, and the two shall become one. That's important to remember that. You're no longer individuals in God's eyes. You're a team. God loves a team thing. Now, you both have individual roles on the team, but you're on a team. You selected the team. God appointed this team, the best team ever, right? This is the covenant marriage that God has created in the garden. It's a marriage bond. And let me tell you something, church, that marriage bond cannot be erased by my or your sin. Because we sin, it doesn't erase the bond of marriage. The bond's still there. The thoughts like this, God's covenants are rooted in his character, not our behavior. Aren't you glad, right? Man, I'm in trouble. My wife just said amen. She really didn't, but I'm in trouble. Because she knows all my shortcomings, and they're pretty bad. I mean, she just knows. But the covenant marriage, God put it together. And it doesn't go south because I mess up or she messes up, or if you're in a covenant marriage. And so the marriage didn't dissolve because Eve made a mistake. It didn't dissolve because Adam made a mistake. God's still true to the covenant he gave them. A man and his wife. Now, they're hiding, of course. That's their physical location. That's their physical condition. The scripture says they hid. And it says they're lost. That's their spiritual condition. They're lost. They're not lost physically. They're lost spiritually. We talked about that, right? But then this phrase shows up. It says, as he was walking in the garden. Church, don't miss this. As he was walking in the garden. Here's what it means. God came looking not to condemn, but to rescue. God didn't need to go walking in the garden, church. God could have called down from the throne and said, where are you? No, he went into the garden and went for a stroll. Why? He got a plan. He's going to go look for them. He knew it was coming. And he had put this great plan together before that happened. So he's going to come and deliver the plan personally. He's not going to sit on the throne. He's going to come down there and he's going to deliver it. Where are you? I am here for you. See, church, right in the moment when Adam and Eve fell, when shame and sin entered the world, God didn't hesitate. He stepped right into the story. That just wasn't about judgment. It was about redemption. It was about redemption in motion, because God's going to come in and walk in that garden. It speaks to a sense of urgency. It speaks to God's active presence. Do you think it was much more impactful that God showed up in the garden and went for a stroll as opposed to doing it from heaven and calling on his iPhone? Right? Isn't it more impactful when your spouse comes to you and say, I love you, I want to talk to you, let's talk about something, instead of a text or a phone call? Now, you young people drive me crazy. I mean, it's crazy stuff, right? They have relationships on text messages. Do they not? Now, you know I'm right. Now, I know the young people here. We have some young kids, right? Young adults. Everything is sent. You can't do that. You can't break up on a text. Why not? They look at you like you got two heads. Like, why can't I break up? It's the way of the world. It's the way we do things, right? Then you know what they did by a text, because all you have to do is go on Facebook and look. Facebook tells you their relationship status, right? Single, married, in a relationship with this person. And the first thing they do when there's a potential situation is people will run to Facebook and make sure their status is the same or it's changed. Is that not true? Right? It's kind of crazy. Now, I know that the younger people are saying, Pastor, we don't use Facebook anymore. Because mom and dad are on Facebook now. Right? The youth is over there like, see, he knows. I'm a hip older pastor, right? I know. I watch it. I know what's going on. Yeah, I'm hip to your ways, right? I know, right? Now it's Snapchat, right? Among other things. Why? Mom and dad's not on there. But see, God showed up personally, folks. God showed up personally. See, we focus too much on judgment when the bigger story is redemption. You know, we look at the Garden of Eden and we say, oh my gosh, look at the judge, look what they screwed up. I'm telling you, the Garden of Eden started a rescue plan. It's a rescue plan. And he says, where are you? I introduced that and talked about that in my series called My Thoughts, right? Thoughts. We talked about it. We talked about two big pieces there. I'm going to talk to you about a third piece that you're probably starting to understand. So he comes into the garden. He says, where are you? Who's you? Who's you? Both of them is you. Why? Because back in Genesis chapter 2, he made them one into a marriage covenant. He's calling them both, church. They're both hiding. They're both lost. He's calling them both. But the scripture says he talks to Adam first. Why? Because Adam's the head of the household. So says God's word. So he addresses him first, right? Is that what it says? It does. But he's calling them both. But he wants them both to acknowledge their need for him. That's why he came into the garden.
Let's have a talk. I'm here to rescue you. You messed up, right? This texting thing and all whatnot, you know, when I was growing up, my mom would come into my room. I didn't like when she came into the room, right? I'm going to bed when that door opened and mom walked through it after we said our goodnights. I'm older now, right? I'm gonna be a teenager. I don't need him to come tuck me in. Don't you dare come into my room and tuck me in, right? But when she opened up the door and she said the dreaded words, let's talk. God shows up and says, let's talk. Where are you? I need to have a conversation with you. The first call out was to their physical location. We talked about that in the series Thoughts. They're hiding. The second call out is to their spiritual condition. They're lost. He's calling that out, right? But he calls out a third thing that we didn't talk about because I was setting you up for the day. He calls out for them to come back. Where are you? I want you back. And I want you back so bad, I've got a plan to get you back. Far away from God, he wants them back. No matter how far we've fallen, church, God's rescue plan was always meant to be more powerful than our mistakes. The plan's much bigger than your mess up. The plan going into Easter to get you back is a whole lot stronger than the sin that you committed that separated you from heaven. It's big. Pastor, how do you know that? Because God showed up in the garden himself to deliver it. It gets better, right? It gets better. Even at our lowest moment, church, God doesn't abandon us. He pursues us. The Garden of Eden was not just a story of rebellion. It is the birthplace of redemption. But God dished out punishment, right? I didn't say there was no consequences. He wants you back, but you know there were some consequences, right? He dished out some punishment, right? Did you ever think about how he dished out the punishment? This is just kind of like a commercial. Trying to do a commercial, am I allowed? This is a commercial, right? So, who sinned first? Ladies, who sinned first? Louder. The woman. Thank you so much. Appreciate that, right? I didn't hear. Guys, who sinned first? No one wants to say it. They're too afraid, right? You think I'm setting you up for something, right? The woman sinned first, enticed her husband, the sin, right? There's God coming in. He's going to dish out the punishment, right? Ladies, what was the punishment for you? Childbirth, it's going to hurt. Men, what was the punishment for you? Toil in the field, it's going to be hard, right? He's dishing out. But did the serpent, did Satan get a punishment? Yeah. But did you notice who got the punishment first? The woman sinned first, but God came in and dished out the punishment to Satan first, the Bible says. Why? How would that have looked? God shows up in the garden for rescuing Adam and his wife from the sin. I got a plan and I want you back, but I got to, you know, there's some consequences for your actions still. There's still consequences for your behavior, and I'm going to dish out some punishment. How would it have looked, church, if he would have dished it out to her first and then him and saved him for life? No, he went right to the source. He went to the source, and he said, listen, cursed are you. Cursed are you. There's a curse coming on. It's on you, and I'm coming to get you. You're going to crawl on your belly forever. That was for the animal, right? But the curse is God's got you in his gun sights, right? But the promise of her rescue does show up. And if you are looking for a rescue in your life, if you're the hiker out in the woods and you want to be rescued, that means you're really looking for a rescuer. You're looking for somebody to show up, rescue you.
There is no rescue without a rescuer. The rescue is the plan. There's a plan in place, but someone's got to execute the plan, right? There's got to be a person that comes in to execute the rescue. You can't get rescued without a person. God came into the garden to do a rescue. He's the person. But from that day on and all through the rest of the age, he gives you a rescuer. And church, that rescuer is Jesus. The rescuer, the Savior. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Wow, what does that mean? That's a lot. That is the first gospel showing up. This is Jesus showing up. This is called pro-evangelium. That means that's the first introduction of the gospel. Jesus shows up. The rescuer shows up. God lays out exactly how it's going to take place, and let's talk about that for a second. See, there is two elements that had to be introduced in the garden because they were never there before. When God created it, he made it what? Perfect, right? It's perfect. Now there's two things that show up. Adam and Eve's sin show up. Never was there before. And then God's rescue plan has to show up to get them back. That was not there before. Another reason why God showed up in the garden, personally. I'm delivering something that's so big because what you did was so big. But what I'm delivering is a whole lot bigger than what you did. So let's look back and break it down. God speaking to the serpent, that's Satan. That's the animal that tempted, right? And when the temptation came, judgment and prophecy showed up in that scripture. Judgment was there. We'll talk about that in a second. But there's this word, enmity, which means hostility. Hostility. Hostility between Satan and hostility between the woman. Get ready, because spiritual warfare just showed up. There is a war declared there, folks. What do you think, Robin? Spiritual warfare, our prayer leader. Spiritual warfare shows up. The war has been declared. Spiritual warfare was declared. Why? Because of sin. And then it says, her offspring and your offspring, that's her seed and your seed. The offspring. The offspring. Her offspring points to the future virgin birth of Jesus. That's the prophetic word. Here's what's going to happen. Your offspring points to those who rebel against God, speaking to Satan. That's the judgment. All going on in that scripture. Prophecy pointing to Jesus. Judgment pointing to all those who rebel against God and his rescue plan. I will, he says, he will crush your head. Jesus' victory over Satan at the cross and the resurrection is what that means. He, Jesus, will crush your head. On Good Friday, the cross, which we'll talk about, Jesus took all the punishment for the sin. But on Easter resurrection, Jesus defeats death. Now, if that doesn't get you excited for an amen coming up to Easter, I don't have anything else for you. Right? You will strike his heel. Jesus is going to suffer. It's going to be real. It's going to be brutal. Come Good Friday at 7 o'clock here at Crosswalk. You're going to learn more about it. It's going to be, it's just unbelievably brutal.
but God. But God, right? And Jesus endures all that. You will strike his heel. That's what that means. Satan strikes Jesus on the cross, but Jesus crushes Satan's head on Easter. Satan strikes Jesus on the cross, but Jesus crushes Satan's head on Easter. The cross wasn't a backup rescue plan. It was the plan from the very beginning. See, we can't understand that, folks. These human minds of ours, we can't see that God had this all laid out. This plan was all ready. He knew he was going to go walk through the garden in the cool of the day. I'm going to go get them back. That's exactly what he's doing to me. It's exactly what he still does to you. He'll show up. He'll be there right next to you. We just sometimes don't realize he's there. Why? We're on an adventure. We're hiking in the woods. We think life is such an adventure. We don't need a rescue. You don't need the rescue, but someday you find out that you're lost and you don't know which direction to go. Somebody told you like days or months or years ago that there's a rescuer. And now we start looking for the rescuer, right? The cross wasn't a backup rescue plan. It was the plan from the beginning. God's plan has always included power. The power to crush the serpent, break sin, and fill the people with the power of his spirit. Is there anybody here filled with the power of his spirit? Give me a shout today. Amen. Amen. There's power. War's been declared. God's not going to leave us with no power. Every page of the scripture from Genesis 4 points to the Savior, the rescuer, that snake crusher, the redeemer, the rescuer. Something's going on. Let me sum up Genesis 3:15 real quick before we move on. It's the origin of spiritual warfare. I hear it all the time. Pastor, I'm in a war. It's spiritual warfare. There it is. It's the first promise of the gospel. It's the launch of the supernatural storyline that stretches to the cross and then stretches to the resurrection of Jesus. And it shows up in 1 John 3:8. It goes like this. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Jesus showed up in the garden on the very first sin. God shows up in the cool of the day and says, listen, I got something better. And all through the scripture, it points to the rescuer. The reason there's a rescuer is because there's a rescue plan. And God orchestrated this rescue plan for just little old me and you. And we celebrate that in 2 weeks on Easter Sunday. That is the day that if you have somebody in your life that you want to rescue, you bring them. You do whatever you have to do to get them to come to Cross Point Church. Sign online. Do whatever you have to do because there's a rescue plan in place. And Jesus' resurrection on Easter Sunday is the culmination of the plan. God appeared to destroy the devil's work, right? The rescue plan is relentless. In pursuing humanity, the fall of man triggered not a pause but a powerful plan. God's response was not weak and reactionary, it was strategic and spirit-led. From Eden to the cross, the day of Pentecost and beyond, God's power has always been at work to redeem his people. Romans 5:8 shows up, which is what I talked about in our transition, right? But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And you got to look at that word demonstrate during this Easter season. He demonstrates. That means he showed you how he did it. And he shows us the outcome. I don't know about you folks, but that demonstration is alive and well inside of your pastor. It's alive and well. God demonstrated it. Doesn't need to demonstrate anything else. While we were still sinners, the combination of the rescue plan. What began in Genesis reaches fulfillment in the cross and the resurrection. Church, God didn't wait for us to get it together. He didn't wait for us to come to him. He pursued us, and he demonstrated that pursuit in the garden right at the beginning. Even in our brokenness, he didn't just rescue us from sin. He rescued us while we were still in the middle of it. At your lowest, your worst, your brokenness, your hurt, your anxiety, your depression, your illness, your situation, your marriage, your finances, your job, right in the middle of it all, in the middle of it all, Jesus. In the middle of your hurt, Jesus. In the middle of your brokenness, Jesus. In the middle of everything you've been going through that you will go through before you even see it, there's a rescue plan and there's a rescuer, and his name is Jesus. And some of you here know who that is, and you've experienced the rescuer. You've experienced the rescue plan. There's other people sitting here or watching online that have no idea who I'm talking about. Why? Because they're still on the self side. They're still on the autonomy side. I could do this myself. They haven't gotten to belonging to somebody else side. They haven't gotten to the rescue side. They haven't gotten to the rescuer side. They're still living over there. And I'm telling you right now, I don't want to live there anymore. Why? Because I lived in a plan. I live under the covering of a plan. And that plan had a rescuer. While we were still lost, God made a way for us to be found. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the ultimate rescue, right? God's love isn't based on our performance. Somebody say amen, right? It's not based on performance. It's based on grace. He comes to us even in the middle of our sin. We are rescued not because we're deserving, but because love from God is greater than the sin we're involved in. No sin is too great. No distance is too far for his love to reach us. So let's review this rescue plan. The fall didn't stop the plan. The fall triggered it. The promise of hostility, that's declaring of that spiritual war, was launched. The offspring of the woman looks to the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, the rescuer, the wounded victor, the bruised but not broken. Jesus is the crushing king. He's victory declared. Risen Savior. Don't you love it, Easter? When we talk about Jesus like this, we say, risen Savior. Man, we need to say that all year round. Not just Jesus. We need to say, risen Savior, rescuer, right? The Apostle Paul picked up on this many years later. You know, Paul's writing this final greeting to the Roman church. We talked about that. It's a conclusion. He's trying to, like I said, already unpack everything, which means help you understand what I'm saying. Change of theology, all this new stuff, right? All this new stuff shows up. And he's writing about it. I believe it's from Corinth, I think. I believe he's writing to the Romans, right? And it's what? Test my memory. What, 67 or so years after Jesus, right? He's writing the letter. He's warning them about divisive influences in the church. He starts talking about a promise of a spiritual victory. And he gets to Romans 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus will be with you. Listen, church. The God of peace, what? Peace and crushing. Pastor, that's the polar opposites. You can't crush with peace. That doesn't make sense. I watch the news every day. It doesn't work like that. Yes, it does. In God's kingdom, it does. It does, church, work like that. In God's kingdom, peace is not passive. It's the result of divine authority in the conquest. True peace comes after the enemy is defeated and not before. So he's saying in that scripture, to crush Satan under your feet, now you have peace, right? God brings peace not by avoiding the conflict, but by winning the spiritual war. Romans 16:20 is the direct echo off of Genesis 3:15 when it says, he shall crush your head. Paul picks up on that. Under your feet. Don't miss this. Under your feet. It says under your feet. That means dominion and authority in Jesus Christ. And you now have that. Because you accepted the rescue plan. You accepted the rescuer. Now see, it's not just Jesus crushing Satan there, that scripture now. It's you and I. Because rescue plan victory of Christ is now shared with his people. You have the authority now. You are empowered to walk in the spiritual authority, and that's why he's writing about it. But wait. It says the word soon before that phrase. Right? Soon. I need it now, Pastor. I'm in this fight today. I need it now, not just soon. See, we got to understand, church, what that's talking about. You're empowered to walk in spiritual authority. Jesus continues to work through us. This word soon, soon crush Satan under your feet. That's a Greek word called atachia. It means really quickly and suddenly. That's what it means. It's talking about Satan's final removal. His eternal judgment is soon, rapidly. It's coming. But in the meantime, you still have spiritual authority to crush his head. Because soon he's going to be dead anyways. But in the meantime, this is the authority that he's talking about that showed up in the garden thousands of years earlier, right? And you and I have that today. The problem is, church, we don't exercise it like we should. We don't realize we're in the battle like we should. You don't realize that you've already won the battle before you even started. Why? Because there was a rescue plan that God put into place billions of years earlier for such a time as this. And there's a rescuer involved in it. Where are you, church? Is there anybody here today or watching online that's hiding? When God says, where are you? That means he's coming looking for you. Not to condemn you, but to rescue you. And he shows up in person. Today, he shows up in person through the power of his Spirit. Because Jesus, when he left the face of the planet, I will leave you somebody. And that power of that Spirit is all authority to draw men unto Jesus, the rescuer. And I'm just wondering, as we're moving to close our service, is there anybody here that needs rescue? The very plan that was put into place that I have just talked about for, 35, 40 minutes, is there anybody here that needs the rescuer? How could I wrap up a service without asking if there's anybody here that needs rescue? So church, do me a favor. Close your eyes and bow your heart. I'm going to ask. Not to embarrass you. You know me by now. I'm not going to call you up front in front of everybody. I just want to see a hand. If that is you today,
I want to pray for you. Where are you? Are you hiding? Just raise your hand. Thank you for the hand down front. Is there anybody else? Do you need rescued? Is there anybody? If you're watching online today, thank you for the hand in the middle. Is there anybody else? I need rescued, Pastor. I need rescued. Anybody? Are you hiding today? Thank you for that hand. I see the hands. I see the hands throughout the worship service. I see that hand. I love it when young people raise their hand and say, Pastor, I need rescued. Anybody else? Several hands. Anybody? Well, here's the second one for you, church. You know, if you're a believer and you've been rescued by the rescuer, you know, here's something that we do. We kind of get like soft. We're so cruising along in this adventure that we call life that we kind of forget who the rescuer is and how the plan rescued you in the first place. And sometimes we just need to be called back. Sometimes God will just say, listen, that is you today. I'm wondering, where are you today? You're living, but you need called back. You need to just make another rededication of your life to the rescuer. Is there anybody here that says, Pastor, that is me. I thank you for the hand out front. Is there anybody else? Yes, hands throughout our worship center. Raise your hand. You need rescued. I just need to be brought back, Pastor. I'm doing it, but I'm just not doing it like I should be doing it. I want to make a public declaration between me and heaven. And I'm going to raise my hand and say, God, here I am. Rescue me. Rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. Thank you. So many hands. Thank you so much. If you're watching online, you can just do that. You can raise your hand right where you're at. I don't care if you're at a coffee shop. I don't care if somebody sees you. You could raise your hand because the rescuer sees you. Anybody else? Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I pray for those hands. I pray for the ones that made that first time commitment, several, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father God, the plan was in place for them. The rescuer was appointed for them. Lord God, as they raised their hand, they made a confession to you in heaven. Lord God, you're not just sitting on the throne. You are now walking among us with your spirit. And Father God, I thank you for touching them on the shoulder and saying, that is you. I am here for you. Lord God, direct them to come on a Wednesday night. Get into a class. Lord God, in Jesus' name. Get plugged in. Get ready. Father God, for those that raised their hand because they said, Lord, I'm coming back stronger than ever. I'm going to rededicate my life to you. I need another rescue, Lord God. That is me. They raised their hand. Lord God, you saw the hand. You walked among us today. Lord God, touch them as well, Father. Lord, you're so worthy today. You are worthy. Lord God, thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Lord, church, I don't want to let us go yet. I know you're going to be, Pastor, what? I just think he's so worthy. They sang that song, and I just want to sing it again. Is there anybody with me? I think he's worthy. The rescue plan's worthy. The rescuer's worthy of another 3 minutes of my time. But I tell you what, he's so worthy. I think we should come around the altar, raise our hands, especially if you raised your hand already. I think we come around the altar. Church, come on. He's worthy of it all. Hallelujah, Lord.
Church. Yeah, give him praise, Charles. That's all right. Yeah, give him praise. Hallelujah, Lord. Church, don't you dare walk out of this worship center today and go back to normal. Don't you dare. God sent you a plan, and he sent you a rescuer for a rescue. And I'm going to pray here in a minute, and as I'm praying, I want you to confess either verbally, openly, or in your spirit, in your mind, just start confessing the place you need the rescue. I'm trusting you're all now standing at the altar of the church, accepting the rescuer. But there's situations in our lives that we need rescued from. I've got them too. And I'm going to pray over you, and I'm going to pray a blessing, but I'm going to pray that the rescuer goes in and rescues you from those situations. You with me? Father God, in Jesus' name, raise your hand, church. Lord God, I confess to you today that I need a rescue, but more importantly, Lord God, I need the rescuer. Lord God, I know that all I have to do is belong to the rescuer.
And no matter what I face, Lord God, the rescuer goes before me. Lord God, as people raise their hands at Cross Point Church, both in the house and online, and they confess they need a rescue, but they're confessing the rescuer, Lord God, into a situation, Lord. And I stand with them today, Lord God, whatever that situation is, Lord God, I speak the rescuer into it. For those that need a rescue inside of a health situation, Lord God, I speak the rescuer of Jesus Christ to heal them. Lord God, for the marriage situation that seems a little rocky, Lord God, you gave us a marriage covenant. Lord God, I speak a rescuer into that situation. So many things, Lord God, that we can confess. And Lord, I thank you. You know them all. And as the Cross Point Church family raises their hands and they confess that they need that rescue, Lord God, I agree with them. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the rescuer. Lord God, I impart the spiritual authority with Jesus Christ leading the way. I have that spiritual authority now because I have been rescued. The scripture says, I am now the one with Jesus, the authority to put my foot on the head of the enemy. Lord God, I do that today. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, I do it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Church, give him a praise offering today. Praise offering. We're going to go out of Cross Point Church. You're going to shut off your device, and you are just going to continue to praise. Give him praise. God bless you.